Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, February 7th, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 77, the first full paragraph, beginning with, "We don't use this as an excuse," ending with, "our former ill feeling and expressing our regret." We're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Sherry M. reading the text, Alex K. reading page 164, and Robin P. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, which was Thursday, February 6th, 2025, is 22,144 or 22144. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,147 or 22147. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Diane M.C. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning and a good day to everybody. This is Diane M.C., recovered compulsive overeater in Chicago. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Diane M.C. And I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name is Terry G. I'm a food addict from Pensacola, Florida. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 11, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity of being service today, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 77. First full paragraph, beginning with, we don't use this as an excuse, ending with our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Sherry M. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Sherry. I'm gratefully recovered in Wyoming. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him, and though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Well, this is packed full. I'm grateful to share on this paragraph. And I don't know what it was like in 1939 talking about God, but I do know what it's like in common, you know, today. And a lot of people, including myself, didn't like that word and had a lot of contempt for it. So I have never found it to be helpful to talk about God during an amends, unless it's been asked of me as to how I recovered, and then I find it necessary. So I don't think that that's something that's necessary today. I think it could turn people off. I know it turned me off, so I'm only speaking from my own experience. But I think the best part of this paragraph is that it's telling me that Basically, my first step in my, there's like four different steps in the process. And the first step is right here. Am I able to go in a helpful and forgiving spirit? That's my first question. And if I'm not, that person, place, or thing that's on my list needs to go to the bottom of the list. I need to go back to the drawing board with God and start praying every day, every day, every day until I feel like I could be helpful and forgiving. So some of these people, it takes longer to get to that place. And I don't want to jump ahead, but it's hard not to see the next paragraph. I'll just say a spoiler alert. That's the second step of how we approach people. But anyhow, so confessing our former ill feeling, you know, that's keeping it very simple. I have shown up selfish in this relationship. I have put my needs above yours, and I regret acting that way. And going to people who are not top of my list is a promise to me, because it's telling me it's going to be more spiritually beneficial. So every amends needs to be run by my sponsor. You know, this is the one step that if we go out on our own, we could be causing more harm. And what a horrible example of the 12-step program that would be. That's what was shown to me when I first came in 21 years ago. And my sponsor, you know, she held my hand through each and every one. I relied on her for her spiritual guidance, and therefore I wasn't causing more wreckage in my present time. I can tell you, and to wrap up with this, is that, you know, like going to, like my mom, for instance, who didn't protect me or choose me over her husband, who was abusive to me. I mean, clearly you can see that maybe she did more harm to me. But putting all of that aside, like it tells me to do in my fourth step, I cover that side of the page, and I'm simply looking at how did I show up as a daughter, whether or not she could be a mom or not, how did I show up? Was I the daughter that I would have wanted to have if I had kids? No, that's what I focus on. Thank you. And I can't wait to hear from everyone else. Thank you so much for having me share.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry M. Great way to get us started. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. We also ask that you please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up, and please finish up promptly. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Alex K.
I've got you, Alex K.
Lisa N.
I've got you, Lisa N. And where are you calling from, Lisa?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Okay. Who else would like to share?
Roz G.
Okay, got you, Roz. Anyone else on this first lineup? All right. Well, we'll start with these three. I've got Alex K, Lisa N, and Roz G. And Alex, you're going to be up first, followed by Lisa N. Good morning, Alex.
Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you, everyone, for being here. Alex K in California, compulsive eater, giving a reprieve for today. Sometimes when I don't think I have anything to say about a paragraph, as I had felt about this when I looked at it yesterday, I note the words that stand out, and then I put them all together, and here are the words I got for this paragraph. God, good purpose, willing, better attitude, admitting our mistakes, beneficial to us, helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing ill will, expressing regret. It's a good summation for doing an amends. I need to start with God, my higher power. I need my higher power's help to be honest and have courage there's an important and vital purpose to what I'm doing. I need to do it to go on with my recovery. I need to be willing to do it, even if it's uncomfortable. My attitude about the person and situation I'm making amends about will improve. I need to admit where I was wrong, and the process will be beneficial to me, supporting my recovery and bringing me peace as my ill feeling is transformed into goodwill. And I wanted to go into it with a helpful, forgiving spirit, expressing regret, and applying this spirit not just to the other person, but also to myself. I'm taking care of myself with this positive recovery action and of making amends and practicing self-compassion for my past mistakes that I can now move on from. Thanks, everyone.
Well, thank you so much. Alex K. in California. Next, we've got Lisa N., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you for your service today. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for making a meeting happen for me today. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered one day at a time by God's grace and mercy. And what this made me think about is something that I'm going through actually right now, and I'm thinking about how I'm approaching it differently than I did before program and even in program when I didn't have much experience and much recovery, but I was still in program. I was making amends, and I have a family member who I'm estranged from, and this requires some delicacy. I have to be careful. I have to pray a lot, and I heard the opening lead speaking about praying every day. I have to pray about this situation. I have to go to others. My sponsor, I've done this. My husband, I've done this. It affects him, and it affects our family. And also my pastor, the pastor of my church, has prayed for me. And maybe continuing to pray. I would not be surprised. But I feel like this is the blessing of program is teaching us how to do this. Before, so impulsive. So I'm an impulsive person by nature, but I don't have to be. I can pause and pray. And I can ask for God's guidance and look for people that I respect and that I trust and ask for their input. And listen, and not just jump in to make myself feel better for a moment like the food did, because I may regret what I do. So I have to really be cautious, yet willing. And that's all I've got. So thanks so much, everybody. I'm available sponsor as well.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa Ann in Wisconsin. Next up, we've got Roz G. Good morning, Roz.
Thank you so much for your service. I'm Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. And, one of our teachers in our program sometimes will say that St. Francis said, preach the gospel and sometimes use words. And that really speaks to me because if I'm treating a certain person some way, some type of way that's rude, or that's a part of my character defect, am I really practicing a spirit of God, a spirit of Christianity, a spirit of religion, a spirit of spirituality, and the noble truths that come along with it? No, I'm not. So if I start telling them about God and I'm treating them this way, I am just a hypocrite. And yes, sometimes I am a hypocrite because I'm human and I will continue to make mistakes. But that doesn't give me an excuse to continue hurting people. And the latest character defect of mine that needs to be quenched is gossip. I gossiped once again in my family to about something that my daughter asked me not to, and whether it was something that was needed or whatever the situation was, I can come up with every excuse to say I needed to do it. I did it, and she didn't appreciate it. And so for me to go and talk to her about God at this point is really not going to help. And so I made an apology to her. I said, I am guilty of being a gossip. I have been all my life. It's been a part of my family for gosh, as long as I can remember. And I'm sorry. I will try not to do it again. So I have a God box, and I know the big book doesn't talk about God box, but the big book does talk about asking God to remove things. And so sometimes when something becomes a little bit too strong, I need to put it in my God box. So I put gossip and a few other things in there. And I did apologize to her, and I was helpful and forgiving. And I just pray that she will forgive me. And I had to forgive my mother for something that just the very same day. My mother asked me to forgive her, and I did, and within seconds, because I want to be a person that practices forgiveness, because I would like to be forgiven. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Roz G. from California. And we can take another lineup if you would like to share on this paragraph, and I'll remind you all where we're at. We're on page 77 in the big book. The first full paragraph beginning with, we don't use this as an excuse, ending with our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. So we read that paragraph and we're sharing on that. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Sandy K, Florida.
I think Sandy K from Florida.
Yes, thank you.
Ann M.
And I believe Ann M is in Mary. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Who else wants to share?
Janice K.
Got you, Janice. And do we have anyone else? I guess we're going to do groups of three today. So I've got Sandy K, Ann M, Janice K. Sandy first, followed by Ann. And guys, please let us know where you're calling from. Good morning, Sandy.
Thank you. This is Sandy K calling from South Florida. A compulsive, recovered overeater. The shares today, in starting with the person who was doing service this morning, reading the paragraph, really, really hit home in a way that was unexpected. And somebody said, one of the people who shared said, use the word blessings. There's so many blessings in this program. One of the blessings is it's not like one and done. Even with step one, sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm powerless over food and my life has become unmanageable. But I can always go back. I can always loop back. And that's what came up with me in this paragraph. I have been in program a long time, and I have done quite a few amends. I don't know if I've ever brought God into it, except perhaps once. Because like somebody else said, I didn't want to turn anybody off. And sometimes that does. But I realized after 40 years of being in program that I never made amends to my first husband. And we've been divorced forever. And I always thought he did more harm to me and my son. And I never thought about me doing harm to him. But there had to be something. There had to be my part. So when we read this, I'm thinking, well, I can't just do step 8 and 9 or 7 or 6. I have to go back to 4. So I have to go back to 4 and see where was my part, even though I don't want to. And even though I was in program, for probably 8 years, I hated him. I mean, I used all the tools. I used all the prayers. I really hated him. And it was a long time before I even wanted to be near him. But I see him now occasionally at family reunions or get-togethers. And he doesn't live that far from me. And I do have an opportunity to make amends. But now I really have to ask my higher power to help me. What do I have to make amends for? It's still not too late. And I have to do it with a helpful and forgiving spirit without taking his inventory. And so happy I was here to listen to everything and to be here to read that paragraph. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sandy K. from Florida. Next up, we've got Ann M., followed by Janice K. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, everybody, and I appreciate this meeting so much. I have some notes on my book that I've had years of different notes, and for this part, I see that I need to pray for courage and humility. And I mean, every step is about humility, right? So I wrote a couple other things that one someone shared years ago, and she said, I realize that I need to control my disguises and my defects. And so this is coming clean. I'm talking with someone or making amends to someone, and I've held a grudge or held resentment against or did something that was not good for them, for me, of course. But then admitting my faults in a helpful and forgiving way, it says, and that in spirit. And how important that is, the smugness that comes into my thinking that I'm right and the righteousness that comes in has got to be banished, and I realize that. And then it occurs to me, too, that I need to ask for the power to do what is good and what is right. And honestly, in my experience, it's more about thoughts, ill thoughts about other people, you know, critical thoughts, and judging, and I would like to be rid of those. Please, you know, please. I need to be free of those. I don't even want to think ill of anyone. But I do. I mean, I do often. And I need these steps. I need the humility in each one of them and working on them and writing on them to come clean and to feel at peace. I mean, when I'm judging and criticizing in my head and then possibly saying something that is unkind or manipulative or whatever, I need to admit that to myself, you know, without this righteousness. So I thank you for reminding me of what I need to work on and for everyone being there. Thanks.
And where are you calling from, please?
Oh, sorry, Washington State. PST.
Washington. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Ann M. from Washington State. Next, we've got Janice K. And please let us know where you're calling from, Janice. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Janice K. from Oregon. This paragraph is a little confusing, I think, because it starts with God and it ends up with attitudes. And it still makes sense. As far as the subject of God goes, this time we're on steps 8 and 9. Hopefully we have been abstinent for a good while. God has done for us at least one thing that we have not been able to do for ourselves, which is clear up the food. We've been through steps 4 and 5 and 6. We have confessed, or 4 and 5. We have confessed our wrongdoings to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. We have acknowledged some kind of existence of higher power, or most of us have. Then we move into 8 and 9. And the big struggle with 8 and 9 is it's so hard to do them if we have not successfully done 6 and 7. It would be nice if I could do it, say that I did it once and I was done and I walked out and I was free and life has been great ever since. It's an ongoing battle for me over being right. Wow, yeah, I am right. They are wrong. Look what they did to me. And that is the work of step 6 and 7, looking at my part in it. What did my behavior do to me? What did it do for me? Am I willing to give up what it does to me? Because when I finally realize that, steps 8 and 9 become mandatory. 9 becomes mandatory. I had a disagreement with a new boss at one point in my life. I was so angry. He didn't know what he was doing. He and I clashed horribly. And eventually he left the company. And I realized how very uncooperative I had been and how I may have contributed to his. He left the company, transferring to another company before he could be fired. And I realized how I had impacted his life. And I became very contrite, and I decided if I ever get the chance to apologize, I will. Well, I came back from an extended medical leave, and he was standing right there. But I had to look at what my character defect did to me and for me before going to this guy who was a former enemy and saying, I'm sorry I did that to you. I was rude. You were new. Okay. Things worked out well. Thank you so much. Bye.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Janice K. in Oregon. All right. We have some time left. So if you'd like to share on this paragraph, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Nora P. in Virginia.
I've got you, Nora.
Elaine G. from Massachusetts.
Was that Elaine G.?
Yes.
All right, yeah.
Jennifer H. in Alabama.
Jennifer H. Alabama. We can get a couple more. Anyone else would like to get in?
Diane M.C., Chicago.
I've got you, Diane. Anyone else? Right, I've got Nora P., Elaine G., Jennifer H., Diane M.C. Nora P., you'll be up first, followed by Elaine G. Good morning, Nora.
Good morning. This is Nora P., recovered compulsive eater in Virginia. When we look at this paragraph, especially, or definitely for me, when I look at this paragraph, I'm really struck by it saying, if it doesn't matter, what the other person did, basically, right? Like, it doesn't matter if they harmed me more than I harmed them. And it took me a while to understand that. But at the end of the day, what I came to realize by working the steps is that the thing that makes me compulsively eat, it has nothing. It doesn't matter. Who hurt me? It doesn't matter, what they did from like the biggest offense to the smallest, right? And the food doesn't even matter really. At the end of the day, it says elsewhere in the book, the big book, that alcohol was only a symbol, right? And for me, yeah, the food is only a symbol. The thing that makes me compulsively eat is that I'm spiritually ill, and the thing that keeps me spiritually ill is what I do. It's holding on to resentments. It's holding the fear that I'll lose what I have, or I won't get what I want. It's anger and dishonesty and selfishness, it's all of those things. That is what makes me compulsively eat. So yeah, when I go to someone with an amends, I can't be thinking about what they did. I have to have moved past that. If I haven't moved past it yet, I have to pray for God for the willingness to move past it. So that when I go to this person with an amends, whatever they did, whatever their part in it is, it's completely wiped from my mind, basically. Like, not like I have amnesia, like I forgot what happened, right? But I'm done with it. I've moved past it because I know it's not what keeps me ill. What keeps me ill is my part in things. It's brushing my part underneath the rug or ignoring it or refusing to admit that it exists. So when I go to someone with an amends, the goal can't be for me to make my amends and then them to turn around and say, oh no, you weren't wrong. I was wrong. No. When I make an amends, I need to be in the mind space that all I am there to do is clean up my side of the street, fix what I have done wrong. And if I do that, regardless of who I'm making an amends to, whether it's someone who I love that I hurt or someone who maybe I still don't, you know, particularly like, but I know that they're one of, you know, they're one of God's children, right? They're my higher power loves them too. So I have to go to them with the spirit of forgiveness and of healing. And I have to set right what I did wrong. And if I do that, I get the healing and the, you know, the spiritual fulfillment that I need to continue on my journey through life so I can continue to be recovered. Thank you so much for letting me share. This is Nora P. in Virginia, and I pass.
Perfect timing, Nora P. from Virginia. Thank you so much. Next, we have Elaine G., followed by Jennifer H. Good morning, Elaine.
Oh, good morning. What a wonderful meeting. Thank you all for your service and for the love you put through these phone lines. I love this step. It is this key to my healing. I've been in program for a long, long time, this one and another one. And I was able to make amends to my family long time ago, and sincere and loving amends. But the bugaboo for me, the hard thing, was my husband. I was able to change how I treated him and how I was, but my thoughts and my feelings, and as someone mentioned earlier, my judgment and blah, blah, blah. And I can still remember the day, and it was, I'm not young, and it was only a couple of years ago after being in program for like 20 years that I was standing in my kitchen and going, I had just been at an eighth-step meeting the night before, and I kept saying, God, I'm so willing. I am willing. I am willing to make amends. And God said, well, why don't you do it right now? So I went downstairs to where my husband was, and I prayed all the way down the stairs, and I just said to him, they say the worst thing a husband can hear is I need to talk to you for a few minutes. And that's how I started it. You know, these aren't good words to start with, but it's so important that I just talk to you for a few minutes. And God put into my mind and into my mouth every single wonderful thing that my husband contributes to me, the love he gives to us. And I that's how I started. I started by saying, that I see all the goodness in him. And I was able to list and list and list. And as I spoke, I could see his face changing. And then I said, but the reason I'm doing this is because now I need to tell you the things I've done. And make my amends to you for that. And I was then able to own my attitude and my false expectations and the history and garbage that I brought into our marriage. And as I spoke, I saw his face changing. The joy, the peace, the relief that he felt as I was owning up to every silly thing. You know, it's not that we fought. It's not that I did sneaky mean things. It's how I acted. It's as much as I thought I was living in amends to him, and I was, but not deep down. And the freedom that I got from this and the love he received from this has changed our lives, changed them. We have the most loving relationship. We have the life, and I can't, some days I get giddy thinking about it. We have three adult children. I'm soon to be 85, and he's soon to be 88. And we're down here in Florida for the winter, and we're having this glorious life. We're grateful we're here. We're grateful we have each other. We take care of each other.
That's time.
Oh, but thank you for letting me go on. The miracle of this step is like no other. So thank you, and God bless you all. Pass.
Oh, thank you so much for your share, Elaine G.
Next up, we have Jennifer H., followed by Diane M.C. Good morning, Jennifer. And Jennifer, you need to hit star one to unmute, please. Jennifer? We can't hear you. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and come back to Jennifer. Diane M.C., can you go next, please?
Sure can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, I'm going to just stop at that very first word we read. We. That kind of summarizes my recovery, really. I took this inventory step with my mother-in-law, making amends. When I wasn't grasping that this is a WE program, you have to involve your sponsor, and I didn't. First time I went through the steps, it was really all about me. So I was kind of in the center. A chore I had to get done involved my mother-in-law. And, I bulldozed through it, did not give her an opportunity really to even hear the amends. I just called her up and dropped it on her. And, I look back, great regret. It was harmful. But I'm grateful that over the years I understand this to be a WE program and a spiritual program. And I had time to make up for what I did and being kind of destructive to her in that amend that I bulldozed through. And in the last couple years of her life, I don't have to look back anymore and just cringe of what I did. But I think of the last couple years of her life where, because of the program, I was able to be the daughter-in-law that she, I think, really needed. And I was able to kind of redeem myself from my ignorance as to how I thought the program should be working. Because at that time, I was calling the shots in every way, in my food plan and how I worked the steps. I had a sponsor. Did I use that person much? Not really. So as I've gotten out of the way and allowing my higher power more in the center of my life, considering more, what's in the best interest of someone else? Those were never my thoughts before. It's been such a better life. In actuality, it's in the circumstances of my life have been harder than ever. But I've had a way to cope with it, keep my sanity, keep my abstinence. But I'm just so grateful. This is a WE program where God has got to be in the center of it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, perfect timing. And thank you so much, Diane M.C. from Chicago. And I wanted to come back and see if Jennifer H. still wanted to share.
Hey, this is Jennifer H. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Jennifer. Good morning, and go for it.
Sorry, I failed the unmuting task there earlier, but I appreciate it. These paragraphs in y'all's shares have really helped me to think about one thing that was coming to my mind was, this paragraph talks about the person we hated, but sometimes I have fear of going back to places I used to go to before I was entirely abstinent and recovered. Because when I wasn't entirely abstinent and recovered, I was blocked off from my fellows and God. I wasn't even aware of things. And so sometimes I think, I don't even know. I wasn't even aware of the ways that I interacted, because once I got recovered in here, I began to see things differently and be aware of things as they were happening. And my sponsor was like, yeah, that's what happens. That's when it says in the big book, there was something different about his eyes. That's because you're going to be able to see things differently and see what's actually going on. But this has always really helped me to think, even if I came across someone and they said, you did this and that, you know, I would already have in my mind exactly what to do, which is to say, I did this thing and it hurt you. I regret it. I'm going to try not to do it again. Tell me what I have left out and what I can do to make it right. And that's the end of it. And the reason that's stuck in my mind is because I say that every morning in my prayer and meditation to God, because God wasn't really the man that I hated, I guess, but not really a man, but I figure I'm supposed to make a relationship with my higher power. So every morning I say, and I did have resentments towards God, so I say, God, I put myself ahead of you and this caused harm to you and me and to all the people around me, and I regret it, and I vow with your help not to do it again. So please show me what I've left out and what I can do to make it right. So it helps me to have something already ready that I'm going to say. So I'm really grateful to you guys for being here and for studying this book every morning, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Diane MC from Chicago. I'm glad you were able to unmute. Thank you. And we have time for a two-minute share. Who would like to share for 2 minutes?
Luann C.
Okay, go for it, Luann C, and let us know where you're calling from.
Okay, thank you, and hello, everybody. Happy weekend coming up. I'm Luann C. I'm from Boise, Idaho. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I was just thinking about a hated person, and we had a dear friend who all of a sudden started sending us emails and accusing us of doing all these things. We just were aghast. You know, we were being attacked, right? And the emails just kept coming. And so thank God for this program. I thought, my God, is there really an amends inside here? And I just asked God for help to reread everything and go, could I possibly have done any of these things? And so my husband and I looked over everything and thought, you know, well, let's just write him a letter and say that we're sorry, because we could recognize that we could possibly have done one or two of these things. And we sent him an amends, an amount of money. And the thing was, the experience was suddenly there was peace. You know, he was like agitated, you know, sending these emails. And all of a sudden, when we offered this amends, just admitting, yeah, it's possible, the whole temperature came down. And eventually that relationship ended. And I'm sorry to say that, but just God helped us navigate that. Really, it was really scary at the time. So anyway, I'm just wanted to share that, you know, sometimes these amends are just, they take you through roads you didn't expect, but God, the end result is always peace. So thanks for letting me share, and happy weekend. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Luann C. from Idaho. And we are now going to close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Alex K., can you please read A Vision for You?
Thank you, Stephanie. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.